It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning. Time for a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Denny. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. I hope you are doing the same. It's 30 now, but I think we'll be thinking about some warm-up kind of food here throughout the rest of this week.
Why not? That's a good thought.
Yeah. Of course, it's always a good thought in my mind. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. What are we going to chat about today?
Well, you know, today I thought we'd talk about something I haven't talked about in years, and that is Beaujolais. Beaujolais is kind of an interesting wine. In about 12 days, I guess, the Nouveau will be here on the 21st of the month. And that's always an exciting thing. Nouveau Beaujolais is kind of the future, if you will, of the vintage. You get to taste the vintage in the year it's made. And it's not to be taken too seriously. It's a quaffing wine, not a sipping wine. It's meant to be relaxed and enjoyed rather than sipped and analyzed. So, but there's more to Beaujolais than Nouveau Beaujolais. Nouveau Beaujolais was a phenomenal phenomenon. I'll never forget buying the first Nouveau we bought. We bought, I think, 55 cases or something. It was called an igloo. And we flew it from Lyon, France, to Minneapolis, and I sweated bullets whether or not we'd sell that 50-some cases of Nouveau Beaujolais. No one ever heard of it, etc. And this is back in 1972, so it's a long, long time ago. But anyhow, we got up to the point where we were selling about 5,000, 4,000 to 5,000 cases of Nouveau when it came in. We're back down to selling less, but we still sell 400 or 500 or so cases of Nouveau Beaujolais. So there is definitely a place for it. It's a fun wine, etc. But we're going to talk about today Beaujolais as the wine. I remember one wag told me Beaujolais is really a white wine. The only problem is it's colored red. Well, there's some degree of truth to that. It's highly acidic, like most white wines. It should be served chilled, like most white wines. And it's very unassuming, like a lot of white wines are. And so I think Beaujolais is a very interesting area that should be given some consideration. And, you know, we kind of glaze over it. People, again, because of that Nouveau phenomenon, oh, I've had that, I don't care for it. They had Nouveau Beaujolais. They've never had real Beaujolais. It has a very noble history, the area. It was founded by the Romans a long time ago, and they were followed by the Benedictine monks, all doing a lot of cultivation in this area. We'll talk about this later on, but the Romans called this area Bruius, and it was on the hillside of Mount Bruy today. And we'll talk about the Appellation Bruy a little bit later as we get into this Beaujolais stuff. But Beaujolais is an enormous area. It's bigger than all of Chablis and most of the northern Côte de Nuit together. I mean, it's a huge area. There's about 50,000 acres under vine alone in this 38-mile stretch of land just outside of Lyon in France. The principal grape type there is the Gamay. And Gamay is a thin-skinned, big grape that obviously matures very quickly. Nouveau Beaujolais is put together in about 4 or 5, at the most 6 days. So you know, the grape type is very important. And Gamay is a thin-skinned, big grape and delivers a very fruity, forward taste. The interesting thing about the Gamay is it was by Philip the Bold, one of the early Dukes of Burgundy. It was banned in Burgundy because it produced too much juice, and as opposed to Pinot Noir, which is the principal red grape type of Burgundy, which doesn't produce very much juice because it's got small berries and small clusters. But anyhow, the Gamay was very productive and was banned up in Burgundy, but it flourished down in Beaujolais. And Gamay is one of those grape types that really hasn't flourished around the world like a lot of them. You know, Malbec went around the world, Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay. Every country in the world produces those wines. Not every country produces Gamay. And it's interesting because the Gamay from Beaujolais, the area of Beaujolais, is very, very delicious wine that we tend to overlook. You know, there have been some scandals involved in that, and the biggest name in Beaujolais is Georges Dubuff. Georges Dubuff was a négociant that jumped in both feet in the Nouveau Beaujolais phenomenon, if you will. And he, at one time, was selling over a million cases of Nouveau Beaujolais around the world. Very, very big, very powerful négociant in Beaujolais. Well, as the Nouveau has diminished, he's switched into producing wines from the crews of Beaujolais. And the crew, Beaujolais, it comes in a couple different types. There's simple Beaujolais, then there's Beaujolais Village, which usually has an extra degree of alcohol in it, and then there's the crews of Beaujolais. And the crews of Beaujolais are named after the communes. My favorite is, well, besides Bruy, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, is Moulin-Avant. Moulin-Avant is the biggest of all the Beaujolais. And my favorite story about Moulin-Avant is I found an old bottle of it once. It was probably 15, 18 years old. And by golly, you wouldn't know that it wasn't a fine Burgundy. It's just how well it aged. And most Beaujolais do not age very well. Actually, Nouveau should be consumed within a year of its manufacture. Beaujolais Village and Beaujolais Cour Beaujolais, Cru Beaujolais, should be finished within 2-3 years. And then these crews can last a long time. And the different crews are, of course, Bruy, which I said we'd talk about in a bit, Renier, Chirobles, Côte de Bruy, Chenasse, Saint-Amour, Fleury, Julianas, Morgon, and as I just said, Moulin-Avant. Moulin-Avant takes its name from a giant windmill, that's what it means, that's in the area. And these crews of Beaujolais are a step above just rate Beaujolais. And for the most part, should be drunk when they're 5 or 6 years old. And some of them, as I said, in that Moulin-Avant, can even go to 10 or 15 years. So these appellations or crews of Beaujolais are kind of important to keep in mind. And my only reason for mentioning all this about Beaujolais is Beaujolais, in my opinion, has become one of the most overlooked wines in the entire wine world. It's very, very easy to pair food with Beaujolais. I think roast chicken just cries for Beaujolais for the most part. And the best thing about Beaujolais is it's very affordable. You can buy a very good straight Beaujolais or Beaujolais Village for usually around $10 a bottle. And believe me, you get $10 worth of pleasure out of a négociant's Beaujolais, you know, and there's many in that area. All of the big houses in Burgundy have Beaujolais. The biggest, of course, is Latour. They've got one in Moulin-Avant, which I said earlier is the windmill area. And they also have a couple of lesser appellations. And you can buy straight Latour Beaujolais. You can buy Drouin Beaujolais. You can buy Bouchard Beaujolais. You can buy Montmasson Beaujolais. These are all fairly large négociant houses that really do produce some very nice Beaujolais, again, that are very affordable, just straight Beaujolais. Your limit is $15, you can get a wonderful, wonderful bottle of Beaujolais for $15 and under. And I omitted Jadot. That's another good one for these Beaujolais. The wine should really be served about 60, 61 degrees. As I said, that wag once said, Beaujolais is a white wine that just happens to be red. There's some truth to that. But Beaujolais, as I said, goes perfectly, in my opinion, with poultry. In Norway, they wouldn't have cod dinner without having Beaujolais. They just love Beaujolais with cod. That wouldn't be my first choice, but it's very interesting. And one of my favorite things in Beaujolais is something that's kind of simple. It's a summer treat. You take a bowl of sliced peaches, top it up with some blueberries, and then pour in a bottle of chilled Beaujolais. Let it sit for a little bit and have that by itself for dessert. It's really quite a treat and just simple. It's peaches, blueberries, and Beaujolais wine. If you want, you can add a little sugar to it, but I never do that because the Beaujolais is soft and sweet enough and complements that fruit just beautifully. I said I was going to mention one other thing. I had the other night, well, that's what really inspired me to talk about Beaujolais today, Chateau Pierreau, P-I-E-R-R-E-A-U, and it's a brewery from 2011, so it's 8 years old. It was a mind-bending experience. The brewery was so good. I just had to pinch myself to realize I was drinking a little simple brewery. And that's, as we said a little while ago, that's the cruise of Beaujolais, our brewery, Renier, Moulin Avant, etc. This brewery is Chateau Bottled, the summer home of the Boisset family, the big Burgundian négociant. And I'm telling you, if you ever want to have a really sophisticated Beaujolais, look no further than this one. And the best part about it is it's on sale, and it's on sale for around $12, $13 a bottle. That's unbelievable for an estate bottle brewery. And this one really takes the cake. It's a real winner. If you haven't had a Beaujolais in a long time and you're looking for a wonderful wine experience, look no further than this brewery. It's the reserve of the Chateau. It's an incredibly good red wine. And I encourage anybody, if you haven't had a Beaujolais in the recent past, why not try it? It's wonderful.
And I know exactly where you can get it. Stop in at any one of the Haskell's locations. Those are good folks. Glad to help you out find exactly what Jack is talking about.
Yes, indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine with the perfect dish. And best of all, they're going to help you pick a wine that will not break the bank. There's a Haskell's near you, Bloomington, Excelsior, Faribault, the super cellar up in Maple Grove. Downtown Minneapolis has free parking on both Saturday and Sunday. At Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell, go to Haskell's.com. And by the by, don't forget, we have coming up at Haskell's our very important wine tasting on November 16th out at the Lafayette Club. There's still some tickets available for that. It is remarkable. No, hundreds of wines, none under $20 a bottle, so it's a worthwhile experience. There'll be food, there's valet parking. It's at the Lafayette Club, which is a beautiful site on the shores of Lake Minnetonka, and it's Haskell's big wine tasting. This is something you won't want to miss on November 16th.
Okay, that's the 16th, and folks are going into any one of the Haskell locations. If they want to find out, they'll know all that information.
They know all about it. Just stop in or go to Haskell's.com, and you can sign up for this wonderful wine tasting.
All right, very good, Jack. Let's talk again next week if you have the time.
Not only do I have the time, I'm going to call you from Beaune, France.
Oh, excellent. All right, that's always fun.
I'll give you a report.
All right, good deal. Safe travels, bon voyage.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, bye-bye. Jack Farrell will be calling from France next week, as he told us, with more Wine Chat here on News Talk 830 WCCO.